I'm trying to getting some dates together, and I realize taking notes through the years helped me go back to get the dates and when we had the pastors, the different pastors, and I put some of the old. These are how some of our paperwork that we had. Different years.
Could I borrow these to digitize them?
Sure.
Okay. Wow.
That's cool. It has the should have the name of the pastor in here, right?
A couple of them don't. I think I put on there one when Dave Shives when he was there because I don't think his name was on it. But the other ones do have their names on it.
Gotcha.
How long ago was this? 1994.
Sight and Sound, a trip to see, behold the land. Did you ever go on those trips?
Every year.
Oh, I just we're
going.
David
we're going in April the 1st this year to see Moses. Is it Moses? Yeah, Moses.
That's so exciting. Is that like a church thing, or is just by yourself?
We were doing it as a church thing. We would do it every year here. But the lady who took care of all that passed away. Recently, so no one else has taken it up, but I had a cousin whose church was going this year, so we decided to go with them.
That's awesome. Wow. Look, P, all the church members are in here, too.
Oh, that's
this
awesome.
This is a jackpot.
That's awesome. I have a church attendance part of the archives that I can probably use that for.
That is so cool.
How did you keep all this?
I keep everything. Real says, you are a hoarder. You are.
Terrell did. She did say
you
that you
are a hoarder. Well, I just to go just like you're doing now and to reminisce. I go back over things every now and then and just reminisce. That's what I was doing last night. It took me to forever to get through it. Just reminiscing, going over things. Wow.
Yeah, I'd love to digitize these, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I have a couple questions. And you have questions.
I'm just taking notes, enjoying being in this in your presence, Miss Renee.
Okay,
chilling.
All right, so, what is the history of this church?
I got that down. Well, we started in a church member's house. Remember that year, but from there, a group of people came down from Massachusetts, and under the pastoral workers of Carl Stevens. Have you ever heard of Carl Stevens?
I have not heard of Carl Stevens. I've heard of
Joel
Friedman.
He was the senior pastor of the Bible Speaks, and they sent evangelists down here in Baltimore, and those evangelists worked at came to the house of Lucine Young. She was the one who hosted the group, and they had Bible study and praise and worship, and it got huge. People started coming. And from the area, and from and they invited people from all over the city, and it got to a point where her house was too crowded, so they finally rented a multi-purpose room in the Lantern Hills apartments on St. Luke's Lane and Liberty Heights. It's off of Liberty Heights, but St. Luke's Lane, the Lantern Hill apartments, built apartments. But it was a multi-purpose room where you could you do anything in there. And they would set chairs up and have service, and then they would had to break the chairs down and put them away for the next time. But we worshiped there every Sunday for quite a while. And as I said, more people started coming. It got larger. And so Carl Stevens, the senior pastor, decided that we need to spread out. So a group of Bible Speaks went to the east side of Baltimore, and a group stayed on the west side of Baltimore. And the group that went to the east side, the pastor's name was Stephen Duff. And the pastor who stayed here on the west side of Baltimore was Joel Freeman. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Joel Freeman?
Okay. I have. Okay.
And I worshiped with the East Coast group first because I thought at the time was close to me. And so I was going there. It was on Bel Air Road in East Baltimore. And Joel Freeman moved to Columbia with the group that he had. And we worshiped in a YMCA. Did Rich tell you about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I met Rich, at the YMCA.
Oh.
And what happened was, when the Bible Speaks moved further out east, they moved to Moravia Road. That was too far for me, because I'm from the west side. And that was too far for me to go, so I decided my family and all would attend Columbia, because it was closer to where I lived.
Mm.
And so we worshiped there at the YMCA for a while.
Mm.
We had Joel Freeman's house. We communed at his house for a year or two. But then the option came up where we could buy property.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we wound up here. This was a Seventh-day Adventist church, and they had moved out. And Joel Freeman and a lot of the trustees realized that this was a bargain to jump onto, and so that's what we did. We bought this building, and that's how we got here.
Mm.
Do you mind if I ask you a follow-up question?
Mm-mm.
When you say that, like, just curious about the timeline, when you communed at Joe Freeman's home, was that, like, for Sunday, or was that just, like, for fellowship?
It was Sunday meetings. We would,
okay.
Yeah.
So it was, like,
church services on Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was after you, what made you guys stop going to the YMCA in Columbia?
I think they were, couldn't afford it anymore, or either the YMCA had other things to do with, and so they kicked us out.
Do you remember what the size of, like, how many people were meeting in George Freeman's home? Like, how many?
Oh,
roughly.
We communed in the basement, and it was a large house. Oh, my goodness. I'll say about 30, 35 people.
Okay.
Oh, wait, this was, you're talking about Joel Freeman, or are you talking about Lucine Young?
Joel Freeman's home. So the timeline was Lucine Young. That's where the Bible, no, what's it called?
Bible Speaks. Yeah.
Is that like a church, or is that like a missions group?
It was a church.
A church, okay.
And
where did that originate from?
From Massachusetts.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then after we separated, we were Bible Speaks. Mm-hmm. But then a scandal came about with the Bible Speaks. And so we changed our names. And
gotcha.
So the Bible Speaks that was in where I went to over in East Baltimore is now Greater Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed Bible Speaks to Still Meadow on this side of town.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So when you guys split after being in Lucine Young's home, it was the east and the west.
Not right away.
We went
from her house. We expanded, and we went to St. Luke's Lane, the the multipurpose room on St. Luke's Lane. Mm-hmm. And that from there we split because it was getting too big. People, mm-hmm. And they wasn't having two different services a day. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, on Sunday, two different services mm-hmm. to accommodate the people. We just decided to split.
Gotcha. But so up until, so at St. Luke's Lane, you guys were still the Bible Speaks
yes.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And then only in between the time of being at St. Luke's Lane and splitting to West and East is when you changed the name.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. it was Greater Grace and then Still Meadow was West.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Was Still Meadow still associated with Greater Grace at that time, or did they separate?
No, they really separated. We got went under the umbrella of the Evangelist Free Churches. Still Meadow went under the, so we were known as Still Meadow Evangelist Free Church.
Do you know what Greater Grace was? Were they also evangelical free or
different? Yes. Okay. Yes.
So the church, this church, it wasn't donated, it was purchased.
It was purchased.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I got that mixed up. Thank you. And Rich said, Rich shared that that y'all used like this idea of like 10 acres of property as like the bargaining, as a way to negotiate price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about all that. So
okay.
I can't help you there.
It's okay, that's cool. Yeah. Do you remember, you mentioned earlier you didn't have dates for Carl Stevens and Lucine Young. No dates.
I can't remember okay. those dates. I know I should have wrote it down. I had a book home mm-hmm. that I think it was in when it was meeting at her house. It was in the 70s. It was around 70. Between 69 and 72, they were meeting at Lucine's house. And then from there, we went to St. Luke's Lane. Mm-hmm. And that's from 72 to we moved. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Does 1978 ring any bells? About property in Howard County. There was a property in Howard County that is based on Still Meadow Lane.
That's how we got the name. That's where Joel Freeman was living. That's
gotcha.
The house.
Gotcha. That was his house.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes
it's
sense.
It's making sense. Okay.
That's so cool. Do you remember how many people were, like, going to Lucine Young's house?
Lucine's house?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it started off with about 12 to 13 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just started growing. They were standing on the porch looking in the windows.
Wow.
Do you have any more questions?
What was
I didn't put down Joel Freeman's date. I think didn't Rich give you when he was those are the pastors. Those are the times.
Oh wow.
The dates that I can remember them. Preaching.
This is helpful. Thank you. I got some of these names, but not Loren Craft Bob.
Yule? How do you say that? Yule Gill? Bob?
Bob.
Vogel? Is it a V?
Vogel. Yeah, Vogel's a V.
Okay.
Vogel,
okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Oh, this is helpful. Thank you so much.
What was worship like? Did it change from... Yeah, what was that like when you were first in Miss Young's home?
It was a lot of praise and worship, and
was it like hymns?
Bible studies, yeah.
Hymns.
Yeah. Yeah, they had the guitar and, you know, and
yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah, the worship band was like award winning, right?
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, you've been humble over here. What?
Oh.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
So I lost my pen. What was your question? I lost it.
Oh, that's okay. I was like, how was the worship like at Lucine Young's house? I'm like, how did it change?
Oh, it was praise and worship, a lot of praise and worship. And then from there to St. Luke's Lane, they had a lot of people who were talented and had, you know, had their instruments and played. First time I St. Luke's Lane had drums at a worship service, but I learned to love the drums.
Mm-hmm. So that was your first experience, like worshiping in a church with drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so neat. Thanks.
What would you consider to be the most significant time periods of the church?
When Pastor Freeman, he was a young pastor. He was in his 30s. And he decided to step down. And he went on to become, got his doctorate in philosophy. Wow. And he wrote, co-wrote a book, Black History 360. Have you heard of 365? Black History 365. And he became very, he wrote books, and he became very well known throughout the states and about knowing Black history. He traveled to Africa and found out about the Black Jews in Africa. And so he gave up preaching and decided to expand his a philosophy on Black history. So when he left, a lot of the church members were upset, and they left the area. When they moved here, when we were up at St. Luke's Lane, they came down from Massachusetts. The majority of them were Caucasian folks. And they, St. Luke's Lane, there were more Caucasian than African-American folks there. And so when they bought this building, which is on the outskirts of the Black community here, our thoughts was to reach out to this community. And after he left, that was his heart's desire. And after he left, Dave Shives became the senior pastor here. Now, Dave Shives was under the Evangelical Free Church people. He was a teacher, an instructor of in a college, and he would come down and preach on Sundays. And he was here for quite a while. I say for about 10, 11 years, to the point whereas we had paid the church off. We didn't owe any more money. And he and his trustee members decided after the church was paid for, after a while they wanted to move back into the county. Majority of them was white, and they were here on the outskirts of a Black community. And they wanted to sell this building and with the proceeds build a church or church somewhere out on in the county.
Was Pastor David white?
Yeah. David, Joel, all of them were white. All those pastors are white. Okay. Except Michael Martin.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they didn't have an interest, really, for the community. And so that's when the big split came about. Because we who decided that our object was to build up this community and be here for the community, and they wanted to leave. You know, they wanted to use the money and split. Mm-hmm. And so we had the big split. All of them left. Mm-hmm. And bless Rich's heart, the Lord put on his heart to stay here. And Rich and his mm-hmm. wife, Kathy, they ran the financial part of the church. And with the grace of God, we just stayed above board. All the bills, everything was met with the little bit of folks that we had that stayed, and it wasn't but a handful, about 20 people that stayed. And we was looking for another pastor, mm-hmm. and as you see, we had people coming through, and nobody really wanted to stay until we went hunting, and we had Dave Garrett mm-hmm. come down, and he gave a trial sermon, and he was good. He blessed our hearts. And so we asked him to if he would be our pastor, and he said only if 100% of the trustee or members of the church would vote him in would he come. And as the Lord had it, everybody voted him in, so he became our pastor. And we got fed. We did really well. We were just stable, but we was doing really well. But he realized he was a pastor that had foresight. And he said, what this church really needs is a black pastor. And so he said the Lord put on his heart to leave and to have a black pastor come in here. And at the same time, Pastor Michael over in California, where that's where he was, he said the Lord put on his heart to come back to Baltimore.
Wow.
So he came back to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's been here, the church has been thriving.
How long of a period was it as Pastor Dave Garrett decided he was going to leave and Pastor Michael came?
I was so upset.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want him to leave. Mm-hmm. That was in, I think, Pastor, that was in 2017.
When he decided to leave.
He said, well, he announced it that he was going to leave, but I think Pastor Martin came in the 17th, on the 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And he had everything. He really lived up to our vision statement. Did y'all read the vision statement?
No, I have not.
It's on the back of one of those papers, I think.
Has it changed since?
No.
Mm-hmm. Vision statement, Still Meadow is a body of believers committed to being faithful disciples and committed to reaching our neighborhood with the healing love of Christ.
That's it.
That's beautiful. What is, how have you seen this mission statement? Like, what are things that you saw and, like, you felt doing this?
When he first got here, I think it was a year after he was here, we had a gigantic flood, mm-hmm. and cars floated around right down the street, mm-hmm. right down Frederick Road, floated down there. Mm-hmm. You had to get in a boat to go catch a car. I mean, it was that deep. And then the waters were, you know, really rough. Mm-hmm. And right after the waters dried up, he had opened the building to the Red Cross and to the people who restore property and to help people out who have had damage in their homes and who was out of their homes because of the flood. He opened this building up for them to sleep in, and the Red Cross set up cots for people who was in need, and the people who needed help, they came here, and the people from Restore was here, and they sat and talked to the people for the information. Find out the information what they needed to restore their homes, and that was here for quite a while until everybody got what they needed.